Second Thessalonians chapter 2. And I would also add, I feel like there's still, you know, somewhere in the recesses of my spirit, there's a message the Lord wants me to deliver. Related, somewhat related to this, but about as the idea is, as this move of God ramps up and gains more momentum, the counterfeit is also going to be there. And so the deceivers and the mockers, those things are also going to increase in the coming days. So we need to be aware of that and be sensitive to that and be in close touch with Holy Spirit so that we don't get deceived. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together to him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember, while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and the God of our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Now my focus is not going to be on the part of this passage that talks about deception and all that. Friday afternoon, while resting after 6 hours with my favorite 3- and 5-year-old, Holy Spirit spoke to me Isaiah 55, verse 6, which reads, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And we could paraphrase that as, seek the Lord because he may be found. Call upon the Lord because he is near. And so that's kind of an introduction of where the Lord wants to bring us today. His desire is that all would seek and find him, the God who desires to be found and known. Jeremiah 29:13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." He is truth, and to know him is to know truth and experience freedom. John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make or set you free." So I would suggest the title for the message this morning as Centered in the Truth, or Centered in Jesus, or The Truth, the Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth. So help you God. Centered in the Truth. 5 points. Number one, remain true to the truth. From verses 2 to 4. It says in verse 2, that you may not be quickly shaken or swayed or influenced to stray from your position of truth or knowledge of the truth. It also says, let no one deceive you. A few scriptures here, 2 Corinthians 6:7, part of that sixth chapter that I suggest that you read at your leisure. Remain in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and for the left. And certainly that goes with what Holy Spirit was saying, that he provides strength for the day of battle. 2 Corinthians 6:7. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. In later times, or in latter days, talks about deceitful spirits arising, and people falling away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrine of demons. And having a seared conscience. And if it doesn't take very much imagination to look around today and see what's happening in the media and what people are saying and what people are doing. There is no respect for truth. It's pretty obvious. So we need, first of all, to know the Word of God and the Word of God, Jesus, and keep him as your example and standard for a living. There was a quote online by Jared Wilson, and it reads, "The closer we are to the shepherd, the safer we are from the wolves." The closer you are to the shepherd of your soul, the safer you are from the wolves. Number two, first, remain true to the truth. Second, operate in the power of the truth. From verse 8 and 9, it says there, "The Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth." Well, that word for breath is used interchangeably for spirit. So he will slay, yes, as he speaks or as he releases that spirit breath, if you will. He will slay the enemy. It speaks of releasing the power of the Spirit from the mouth, speaking the Word of God, in other words, to your situation, to your challenge, to your mountain. Paul speaking to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2:4. "And my message," or my word, logos, the spoken or written word, "and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." It's talking about that same power when it says the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth. It's talking about you and I utilizing the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us to speak the Word of God. And when that happens, things change. And literally the atmosphere can change from one moment, and once you declare in the authority of the risen Christ, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, the atmosphere changes around you and your whole situation can be transformed for the glory of the Lord. It says in Psalm 119, verse 160, "The sum of thy word is truth." In other words, the whole word, the whole truth and nothing but the truth is contained in this book for living. When his word goes forth, it carries power, or the power of Holy Spirit, so that when you and I speak his word at the direction of Holy Spirit, he empowers it. And that which he desires to accomplish gets accomplished. It gets done. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full of conviction." I expect, and you should expect, as you yield to Holy Spirit, when he gives you something to speak and you obey, conviction will be the result. The Word of God will accomplish that which he desires, and things will happen. Things will change because, number one, of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, nothing's going to change. But your obedience is what releases God's provision to take care of business. So you need to realize you are a carrier of his presence and power. It's not based on if that you feel like it. I've learned over time, it doesn't matter if I feel like I'm preaching a powerful word. It's not up to me what the results of the word will be. It's up to him. And so when you obey what he asks you to do, when you speak what he asks you to speak, he will accomplish his desired result. You don't have to worry about that, because you are actually not responsible for the results. You are responsible for obedience. So he will accomplish his purpose for his glory. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth and your mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Centered in the truth, centered in Jesus, centered in the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Do you understand the power that is in this book? I mean, I sometimes think we don't, because we ignore it. We get distracted. We allow things and circumstances to prevent us from spending time in this and spending time with him. Number three, commit to love the truth, to love this word, to cherish this word, to value this word of truth. From verse 10. It said there, they did not receive the love of the truth to be saved. They didn't receive it. They didn't acknowledge its power. We need to acknowledge it and rely upon it and exercise it with the God-given authority of every blood-bought believer. He is Lord. And his word is powerful to change and move mountains. And that word is agape love, the love of the truth. It's with the love with which God loves his word, is what it's actually saying there. To love the truth the way God loves it. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, for handling accurately the word of truth. You can't handle it accurately unless you know it. And where do you know it? Not here. That won't produce any kind of result. It's in here. We should have the word of God accessible and at our command. For any situation, this word has an answer for every situation in life. But you have to know it in order to speak it and to have the power of God that's resident there change your circumstances, defeat the enemy, if you will, who rises up against us. I found it curious that that word for handling accurately is the word that's translated straight. In only other time it's used in the New Testament, Hebrews 12:13, make straight paths for your feet. How about that? How are you going to make a straight path for your feet? Right here in this book. Knowing and declaring and speaking the word of God. That's what creates a straight path for your feet. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. And this is how I received it. If you love the truth, you will practice the truth. If you love the truth, you will practice the truth by practicing love also. John 3:21. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. That you are not a phony baloney. It will be a witness to people that you're the real deal. What you say lines up with what you do. That's what it's talking about here. Practicing the truth. John also writing in 2 John 1-4. Must have been a special woman here. He addresses her as the chosen lady. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth. For the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Maybe I didn't give you to verse 4. That would be my bad. Okay. In Jesus' name, wake up. Only kidding. Come on. She needed that, she said. Grace and mercy and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. And so you see, and we know that John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so he teaches us here about the partnership of love and truth, how they go hand in hand if we are going to practice or live in truth. So we need to love him fully, and then we will demonstrate to the world our love of the truth. Whoa. I just got a little gift. I guess he wanted to give an amen to that. Whew. Wow. Number 4, express the truth. From verse 12 and 13. I would say faith in the truth is not based on head knowledge, but an acceptance in the heart and in your soul and spirit, your total being. It's based on what Christ has done for you, but also what Christ has done in you. James 1:18, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. Talking about Jesus working with the Holy Spirit. You were brought forth, or you were born again, because he created in you a hunger or a desire for the truth. You can't take credit for that. He did it. And he continues to do it. First Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living, abiding word of God. So, we could say that the truth lives in us. It abides in us as we give it a home. Not if we place limitations, or we only receive the word when it serves our purposes, or when it, or if it's convenient or not painful. No. You can't qualify it. You have to let the word do its work that he has designed it to do. The living and abiding word of God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And that will manifest in an expression of faith in the truth. 2 Peter 1:2-4. And it's talking about all these things here are given to us to express faith in the truth. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. What is the true knowledge of him? The truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. So we need to demonstrate by a lifestyle that Jesus is alive and well in us, and that we believe in the truth. We have faith that what this word says is and always will be true. Centered in the truth. Centered in relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm just, the whole time I'm speaking, I have an insatiable thirst. It's like I have cotton mouth. You know how that is? No matter how much you drink, it just doesn't satisfy it. And that is how we should be for this truth. He's using me as a wick to demonstrate what he wants to say about the truth. I'll be a fool for you, Jesus. Amen? Amen. And number five, stand in the truth. From verse 15 and 17. It says, verse 15, stand firm and hold to what? The traditions or the truth, that which they were taught. Remember, they didn't have the written, what we have the privilege of reading today was not down on paper yet. So it was all in what they were, what they heard. So he's saying the words that we speak, which now we know as the gospel, they first only received it through the mouth, but with the, all the power that's in the written truth. They spoke truth. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men and be strong. Stand firm. Don't yield your ground that you've, that, you know, sometimes we feel like we struggle until we get the victory. No, God brings the victory. We just come under submission to the cross. That's how it works. He does the work, you reap the benefits. Strengthen your hearts, verse 17, back in 2 Thessalonians. Strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. You know, what the enemy designs for your undoing, God designs for your strengthening, for your growth, for your maturity. And so it's a matter of perspective and a matter of standing in the truth, the level of truth that you know. Romans 14:4, to his own master he stands or falls, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. See, you can say to the Lord, Lord, it's too much. Lord, I can't do it. When my grandchildren give me that routine, I say, oh, yes, you can. And that's what the Word of God says. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. Second Peter 1:12. You have to read the rest of the chapter. It's referring to all those things that we struggle with. And he says, I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the truth. Do you see this? You're established when you receive the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes in, he abides in you, and you are a receptacle of the truth. You are established, you are equipped to be a mouthpiece for the truth, for the gospel message. You are established in the truth which is present with you. So no excuses are allowed. So we need to stand for Christ in all that we say and do. And I will close with Galatians 2, 20 and 21, and I'll read the Amplified afterwards. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. And that's why it's important to go back and really read and meditate on 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where he's saying to the Corinthians, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Allow it to sustain you and carry you through and defeat those things that are trying to defeat you. I think I misspoke. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation, not the Amplified. Galatians 2:20 and 21. You're going to love this. You should love the Word of God anyway. In the Passion, my old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives, for the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. So that's why I don't view God's grace as something minor or peripheral. For if keeping the law could release God's righteousness to us, the Anointed One would have died for nothing. It's a powerful rendering of Galatians 2:20 and 21. Centered in the truth. Straight. Straight paths for your feet. It says in Hebrews 11:6, I think it was. Centered in Christ, he is the true north, the center of all of life. His name is Jesus. So as you see, it doesn't matter if you don't have any sleep. Doesn't matter if the smoke detector goes off every half hour during the night. This word has power. I hope you received something this morning. I believe you did. The truth will set you free. John 8:32. God bless you and bless everything God has planned for you. Do you know he intends to do that? But we have to stay in tune with him. We have to stay in communication with Holy Spirit. And that's his promise to us. He'll never leave us or forsake us, no matter what the challenge. I so appreciate that you're here. I mean that. And I'm excited for what God is going to be doing in this house. Because he's going to begin the work he started in you. What does the scripture say? God who began a good work is what? Faithful to complete it in you. The Lord bless you. Of course, if you have specific prayer needs, the altar ministry team will pray with you and encourage you in the faith. I encourage you to have a cup of Joe, a cup with Joe. Yesterday was his birthday. I think he's downstairs with Colby. But you could give him a little nudge or a kick, whichever seems more appropriate. The Lord bless you. I hope to see you down there.